Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode with the
Strikeout Bros, baby. We got episode 21 here. So the name of this episode is going to be, we're not going to pitch to him. And we all know who we're talking about. We're talking about Aaron Judge. You know, these teams out here, we're getting smart. And we're not pitching to this guy anymore because this guy's just going to ruin the game, you know, for the opposing team. We're trying to play smart baseball here. I know, you know, it's a strategy and it's something that, you know, people frown upon. But it is what it is. This is what we have to do. You can't pitch to the big guy because you're going to end up losing the game. What's going on, Lodge? How's it going, bro?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Trade deadline has come and gone, and now we're into the second half of the season. This topic is very interesting because if you're an opposing team, why would you pitch to Judge? The Mets, you know why the Mets won those two series against the Yankees? Because they didn't pitch to Judge. If they had pitched to Judge, I guarantee they would have lost one of those two games. He would have either hit a game-tying home run or go ahead and home run. Who knows? So the Mets played it smart, and then Boston didn't play it smart. And because of that, Yankees managed to sweep Boston. So
no, they didn't sweep them. They lost the first game. They lost the last two. Boston lost the last two. But anyway,
Yankees took 2 out of 3. But the point is when you pitch to Judge, you're going to lose most likely.
Yeah, definitely. And we have some numbers for you, too. But so this past Sunday, Judge became the first Yankee intentionally walked 3 times in a game since Bernie Williams in 1999, September 26, 1999. And he joined Cleveland's Jose Ramirez as the only major leaguers intentionally walked 3 times in a game in the last 3 seasons. It's pretty crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's respect, you know? That's serious respect. But, you know, the Yankees, they failed to score in any of those 3 innings where Judge was walked, right? But they still managed to beat Toronto 4-3. The lineup behind Judge is anemic, so that pretty much means that anything after that, they're not going to produce runs. So you have Judge on first, and Soto didn't do anything for you, then guess what? You're not going to produce any runs, you know? So it's pretty crazy how these teams are, like, getting, you know, they're having these talks prior to the game. And they're like, we are not going to pitch to this guy. Especially, in, you know, these pivotal games at the end of the season. You know, when you're trying to, you know, get up there and you're trying to stay in, you know, in the playoff race. And it's pretty crazy. You know, you play any big team, they're not going to pitch to Judge. In the playoffs, he's not going to get pitched to. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's respect and it's kind of crazy at the same time. I don't know. Tell me what you think, Lash. It's kind of, I don't know.
Well, it's a chess move because the problem is you can't walk back-to-back Judge and Soto. So you got to pitch to one of the two. So you got to say to yourself, who can hurt me more, Judge or Soto? The answer is both, but lately it's been Judge more than Soto. Soto, when he gets into one, he gets into one, but he's more of a strikeout hitter than Judge is. Judge, if he doesn't get the hit, he'll either fly out or get a base hit. So the teams are smart, and then they're just saying, well, you know what? Let me just walk the guy. And if you're Aaron Judge, yeah, you hate it. But guess what? If I know you're going to walk me, that's great because that's energy I don't have to use. I can conserve the energy for something else. You know what I mean? I'll use it, you know what I mean? And as you get longer into the season, these players get more fatigued. They're more injury prone. So if I know I don't have to sit up there and try and swing because they're just going to walk me, all right, cool. And I'm not going to steal base. I'm not going to run I'll run the bases if it's like a hit or something. But other than that, it doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't hurt Judge. It doesn't hurt the other team. The only way it hurts the other team if they give up a home run to Soto. Now they just gave up a 2-run bomb, so now it's 2-0 versus 1-0. It depends on what the score is. So yeah, it's smart. And I know you were saying over here, Soto wasn't happy because Aaron Boone has been calling it the Aaron Judge treatment. Basically, they're saying like, oh, he's getting specialty treatment because he, you know, he's the captain and it's not fair. Why does no one else treat me like that? Things like that. But Aaron Judge is homegrown. They got to protect him. Soto's on a one-year prove-it deal. It's not even guaranteed that they're going to re-sign Soto. So, you know, the Yankees are smart about it. The other teams know about what they got to do against Judge. So, yeah, Soto might not like it. But if you're Soto, I'd use that as motivation. All right, you're going to walk my guy? All right, cool, watch this. You're going to pay the price. I'm going to hit a bomb and make you suffer because you walked my guy. So,
yeah, but you're right. But the numbers speak for themselves, though. So check this out. So, like, Judge, he's been intentionally walked 11 times, right? 4 in the last past 2 games, right? So it's pretty crazy because he has the high on the team. Him and Soto are tied for the most walks, right? So 92 walks between, you know, amongst both of them. So they both have 92 walks, right? So they're obviously going to get on base. The problem is there's no damage behind them. So they're not going to score because behind those guys, there's nothing happening. So it's a super anemic lineup, right? And the numbers are crazy, right? So the cleanup batters behind Judge are batting .217, all right? That's pretty crazy. So after the second half started, Judge is 9-for-16. That's a .563 average with 3 home runs in the second half with runners in scoring position, right? And then the rest of the Yankees are 22-for-122. That's a .180 average with 5 home runs. So the numbers speak for themselves, you know? So the opposing team is doing the right thing, right? If you want to win a game, you want to stay competitive during that matchup, you don't pitch to this guy, you know? And it's crazy. You know, Soto says, you know, oh, you know, we don't like that. We want to see what Judge can do. Yeah, but you know what? It's a strategy. But he, at the same time, he says he understands it's part of the game. So which one is it, Soto? You know, you understand it or you hate it? You know, you have to pick a side. You have to try to figure that out. I just want to, you know, stop and say that Baltimore just won 7-3, and you guys are still in the fight. I love it. But, you know, the Yankees made a lot of big moves in there, you know, during the trade deadline, and, you know, they picked up Chisholm. So, they, you know, the first three guys in that lineup are a force because Jazz has just turned into an animal. And he really likes being there. And, you know, they have controllability. He's going to be there for a while. And it's going to pretty much stay the same if Soto sticks around. So they have to figure out what's wrong with the rest of the lineup, you know, the 4-9. But the Yankees, they won 9 out of 15 since the All-Star break, winning 5 in a row, sweeping the Phillies. You know, they took the last two out of the Boston series, and they swept the Phillies. So it's pretty crazy. And tonight, I believe they're playing a doubleheader against the Angels. I haven't been keeping tabs on that. I'm pretty sure Lasha has. What's going on over there?
Yeah, so Yankees played a doubleheader. They took the first game against the Los Angeles Angels. I believe it was like 4-0. And now they're losing the second game, 8-2 in the top of the ninth. So one thing I've noticed with doubleheaders, it's very rare that either team sweeps the doubleheader. It's always a split. It's one thing. I don't know why that is, but for an Orioles fan, I'm happy. Baltimore won. They're stressing me out lately because their pitching staff is hurt. They lost Grayson Rodriguez, another starter. They've lost 4 starters now this regular season. I don't care who you get, but I know I'm making excuses because everyone has injuries, but you need starters to win the game. It doesn't matter how many runs your team scores. If your pitching can't hold the other team down, then pitching beats good offense. So they you know, the Mets have injuries. They have issues with their relief staff and pitching, and so do the Yankees. So it's the same story all around. This is why I really think this is another reason why I think they should have moved the trade deadline back, because it allowed, it forced more teams that were realistically not buyers to be sellers, and you could have forced your hand on the buyers and be like, oh, you really want Skiba? All right, well, give me this, 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 and that. Give me your five. Give me your top three prospects and, you know, whatever, you know, another star player, whatever, and I'll give you, you know, whoever you want. But because at the end of all, July, everyone's still in it, not, you know, technically everyone's still alive. If you want to go mathematically, it made so that more teams were buyers than sellers. So it just made it harder for teams that are trying to sell. Like, I have so many people to choose from. Why am I going to just sell it if there's no obvious team? I want a team that's desperately hungry and know they need this guy. Without him, they're not going to win the World Series. But no team showed like that. So that's why a lot of these big star pitchers that we thought were going to get traded did not get traded. But anyway, as far as the Yankees go, going back to Yankees, they acquired Mark Leiter Jr. He's the cousin of Jack Leiter, who's the son of Al Leiter. I know it's a big tree. And Mark Leiter is the nephew of Al Leiter. He came over from the Chicago White Sox, the Chicago Cubs, excuse me. In his first outing with the Yankees, he kind of blew the lead. They ended up winning the game. It was against Philadelphia. But other than that, I think he'll be a good arm. They definitely need bullpen help. Clay Holmes has been awful for them. So they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, they've been using him, you know, heavily. And he seems to be, you know, happy in that new position. I mean, he's doing his thing, you know. Like, he's pretty much lights out. He's having fun. And they needed that help, you know, they really did. But let's talk about, you know, the other side of town,
the New York the Mets. Metropolitans, the OMGs, you know. Right,
you know, exactly, the OMGs. Right, so, you know, I don't like to use that term. I don't like to use that term, but you know.
Why not?
Everybody's using it. I don't like it. Listen, we're having a good season. The season is, you know, for me as a Mets fan, I feel like the season, you know, it's been extended. Right, because usually around this time where, you know, we're not relevant, you know. But you have to understand that, you know, this year we're starting to show signs of, you know, what we're used to again, you know. And the problem with the Mets is that, you know, we were in a wild card race and we were holding it down. We started at three.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And then we worked our way up to one, and then we lost it. Now we're looking from the outside in, trying to scrape wins. And the thing about the Mets right now is that we're winning a lot of games and we're still playing well, but we're losing against bottom of the barrel teams, you know. And this is the problem. Like, go ahead. I want to hear it from your side because I have a lot to say, but you were about to say something and I want to hear it because you're looking at my team from a different perspective and it's always good to hear.
Well, I was just going to say it's frustrating because you got to beat the teams that are not teams that you should be under 500 teams, like the Colorados of the world, the Chicago's of the world, the Toronto's of the world, so on, the Angels of the world. You got to beat these teams, especially if you want to catch up to San Diego, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the St. Louis Cardinals. These are just teams that are in the wild card division in race for the with the Mets, you know, the last three wildcard spots, and Atlanta. And another thing is you really need to win because Atlanta is playing good teams. They're playing Milwaukee, and they're getting smoked by Milwaukee. They lost yesterday, I'm sure. I haven't looked at the schedule today, but they're struggling. They have problems up the wazoo. And if you're the Mets, you got to take advantage because if the Mets win these games against Colorado and Atlanta loses, guess who's in second place in the division? The New York Mets. Someone that I didn't expect to be in second place.
Yeah, but you understand. No, it's bad because San Diego came out of nowhere. They got hot.
Yep.
They got really hot, right? And Arizona's showing signs of we want to go back. You know, we want to go back to the playoffs. You know, this is the second
in the World Series.
In the World Series, exactly. So it's crazy how these teams were looking in, and now we're the guys looking in now. You know, and it makes me sick. You see how frustrated I am. And the thing is that when we play big teams that are in the fight and, you know, we can...
playoff contention.
Yeah, exactly. In contention. We destroy those guys. The pitching is always there. We hit the ball. We score a lot of runs. But we can't even score 4 runs against these, you know, lesser opponents. It's crazy to me. I don't understand it. It's like we're like playing down to the level of competition. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Look, we started off the second half and we split a 4-game series with the Miami Marlins, right? That's mm-hmm. insane to me. We're supposed to destroy.
Sweep him.
Exactly.
3 out of 4.
Exactly, right? And then we end up doing the same thing with the Angels. The Angels took 2 out of 3 from us. How is that happening? It doesn't make any sense to me. It bothers me, all right? We play really well against these teams, right? These big teams, the Yankees, everybody else, everybody that, you know, means something. We do well, but then when it comes to these teams that we're supposed to destroy, we can't do it. It doesn't make any sense. And this is why I know that we're not going to make the playoffs. This is why I know we're not going to make the playoffs. There's something wrong there. There's something that doesn't make any sense. And I know they can't understand it. Why is it that they can't produce runs when it should be easy to just run through these teams? These teams haven't won a lot of games all season. So why can't they do it?
Well, in my opinion, I think what happens is, in my opinion, it could be psychological because in your mind, you're like, this team's not going to play hard. Colorado's done. They're 70,000 games under 500. Chicago's 1,000 games under 500. Guess what? We could just take our foot off the gas and go easy. And then before you know it, go easy. And guess what? Now they scored 7 runs on you. And before you know it, now you're trying to catch up because, you know, it's like a track meet race. You know, you don't think the fat guy behind you is going to catch you. And so you kind of like lollygag the first 50 meters of the dash. Then before you know, a fat guy's ahead of you and like, what happened? You can't sleep on these teams, man. Because remember, these guys are professional athletes too. They're not playing bums. They getting paid a lot of money to play. Yeah, they might not like losing. They're on a losing team. But guess what? They want to win too. They get paid just like the Lindors of the world, the Alonzos, Severinos of the world. They get paid. So do the Mets. So guess what? Every win they get, it helps them, you know? So,
yeah, it's a personal resume. I understand that. Personal resumes. That's how I see it. Listen, if I'm on a bum-ass team and we suck, I'm still going to give you 100% every single day. You know why? Because I want to show you that I'm, you know, worthy of being in a major leagues, you know? But you have to understand this is bothering me. Like, okay, so last night we lost 6-3. We can't even score 4 runs in a game. It's crazy. Right now we're losing. No, it's tied. It's tied. All right. We're winning 2-1.
That's good.
It's tied right now. 2-2. If we lose this game, oh, man. Like, seriously, I don't think we have a shot. We're just showing the same signs that we always, you know, put up. We started the season horribly. Then we figured it out. We got back in the race. You know, the stadium is packed. And now all of a sudden we're showing signs of, yeah, guess what? Maybe next year. And I can't stand it. You know, it's hard being a Mets fan. You know, and it's crazy because, you know, then I look at your team and your team is struggling. The injuries are killing you. All right, you have 2 teams. Atlanta can't handle the injuries, right? So they're struggling to stay afloat, right? And then you have Baltimore who has probably the most injuries in the major leagues this year.
The pitching.
Exactly. Pitching-wise.
Position players are good.
Exactly. Pitching-wise, and you guys are still in the race, and you're fighting hard. You know what? And it's crazy because, you know, you guys lose, and Yankees lose. So it's helping.
We win, the Yankees win. It's just a seesaw.
It's a seesaw effect, you know, and this is the problem with the seesaw effect, you know, when the season is coming to an end, you know, like you can't have that problem. But the Mets are definitely not going to make the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, I'm ready for it. And I'm not going to be disappointed because it's what happens every year, you know? It happens every single year. And the pitching has been great. So it's not the pitching because it's not like they're destroying us. We just can't produce runs when we play these teams. It's crazy. But you know what? It is what it is. San Diego, Arizona, they won 8 out of their last 10. Both of these teams are on fire. They want to stay up there. They're getting hot at the right time. A little bit of luck and getting hot at the right time takes you places, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. But going back to the Mets, it's funny because the one guy that was struggling in the beginning, he's turned around, has been Lindor. He's been lights out in this, you know, since April or May, whatever it was. And then, but everybody else, Alonso's kind of been disappointing. Nimmo's kind of gotten a little cooler. McNeil has been. McNeil, if you saw him in the street, be like, who the hell? He's on my team. You wouldn't even know who he is because he's just been so quiet with his bat. And defensively, he's not even doing all that great either. But the problem is you, if you can't have the same problem the Mets have or the same problem Yankees have. They're relying on one, two guys to carry the whole team. And the Mets are relying on one guy to carry the whole team, essentially. Because he's the only one producing, and the pitching staff, I guess. And you can't do that. Eventually, he's going to get cooled. Lindor's going to cool down, or God forbid he gets hurt. Not saying I don't want that. You know what I mean? I don't think he will. But still, you need other these. You know, the guy that disappoints me the most is Pete Alonso, man. I like the guy. He's great. He's good with the fans. He's good with the team. He's not a problem child. You know, you could tell he wants to be a New Yorker for life. He loves it, but he's just not producing, and it's gonna hurt him because he's not gonna come back to the Mets.
It's the money. It's the money. Listen, if you would have signed this contract prior to the season starting, we wouldn't have these problems. He would have been a more relaxed player. He would have been able to produce and not think about, oh well, I need to produce these, you know, 30 home runs, and I need to get 20 doubles. I need to do something spectacular to get this amazing contract. But they offered you money, but you were being greedy. So this hurts the team. But the thing is that this team is very electric, all right? It's like they feed off each other, all right? And they have really good chemistry, all right? So I understand what you're saying, but that only happens when we're playing these bottom-of-the-barrel teams. Because when we're playing big teams, there's something happening in that clubhouse where they're like, all right, these guys are tough. We're going to show them how tough we are, all right? And, you know, these guys that we have on our team, they are household names, all right? You have to understand that. Stearns did an amazing job of putting these guys together, all right? Because they all have these little special talents. But when they're playing a big team, they really connect, and they work together, and they shut it down. And they show these guys who they are. I love that team. But, you know, when you're playing the Angels, you're playing the Marlins, you're playing Colorado, you have to be able to take advantage of the easy schedule. You know, I was reading up on, you know, the schedule today, and apparently we have the fourth easiest schedule in the National League. Explain to me why we're not on top of that wild card. And a week ago, we were like 8 games out of the first slot in the division. Because the Phillies have been struggling too, you know? The Phillies are a veteran team that's really good at what they do. But you know what? They're older and they get hurt a lot, you know? So they were hot for a while, and we were supposed to take advantage while we were doing our thing. But it seems like we don't want to do anything with it right now. We don't want to win. We don't want to win. It's insane to me. I know these guys, they hate themselves right now because I don't think that they understand what's really happening, you know? I don't think they understand. The pitching has been phenomenal. Everybody said, oh, we're looking at the rotation right now prior to the season starting, and we don't think this rotation has what it takes. And all these guys have been going 7 innings, all right? Manaea is going 7 innings. Severino, his last 2 starts have been funny, but he's been, you know, a workhorse, all right? And then we get Blackburn from Oakland, and Blackburn's been amazing. You know, the funny story about Blackburn is that a week prior to getting traded to the Mets, he pitched in Anaheim in an Oakland A's uniform against this team. And then a week later, he ended up in the same exact position in a Mets uniform, pitching against the same exact team. It's pretty crazy. Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah,
and he did was horrible when he pitched with the Mets.
He did amazing against the Mets. He pitched like 6 innings.
Oh, good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
He gave up one run, 82 pitches. He did a really good job. You know, two walks. All right, he struck out six. He did his thing. You know, and it's funny because you have to worry. You have to say, damn, a week ago I pitched against this team, so they got a good look at me. And then the following week he's in a different uniform pitching against the same exact team, and he was able to produce. All right? You know, after seeing Kodai Senga in his debut do an amazing job and then fall apart and shelved for the rest of the season. They're talking about, oh, yeah, you know, if we make the postseason, he might be able to pitch for us. Get out of here.
No, I heard October maybe.
Yeah, October, exactly. October maybe. Guess what? There's two games in October in the regular season. He's not pitching for us for the rest of the season. But you know what happened? This is the funny thing about it. Senga, due to the fact that he wasn't able to reach the 400 innings mark, right? Because he's been hurt, right? Right now he's at 171. You know, so this is he's unable to opt out of his contract because he was supposed to hit 400 innings to be able to opt out of his contract. So now we have controllability until 2027 at $15 million per season. I like that. You know,
that's a good deal. So actually, it was a blessing in the disguise. Yeah, you lost your ace, but it's great because now you have controllability. Now the thing is was he gonna? If he did hit the market, was he? I'm guarantee the Mets would have re-signed him more than Alonso. So I wasn't worried about that.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. But let's move on. Let's stop talking about the Metropolitans because we already know what's gonna happen. They're not gonna make the postseason. And I'm a diehard Mets fan. And you know, I'm telling you how I feel and what's happening, and I can see it already. I can see it. It's unfolding right in front of my eyes. But it's okay. It's okay. Maybe next year. Like, that's just what we always say. Maybe next year. We should all be wearing orange and blue t-shirts that say maybe next year. But whatever. Let's talk about the Chicago White Sox. They're laughing right now.
I heard that.
Let's talk about the Chicago White Sox. All right. They went on a streak. Right, and the streak wasn't a good one either. 21 games.
Ouch.
21 games, all right? And guess what? They tied the 1988 who? Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, your geez. Team.
All right? For, you know, in American League history.
I was a year old.
21 games in a row. Can you imagine being on a team like this? I understand you're getting paid big bucks, but nobody wants to lose like that. That's crazy to me, right? So we're going to discuss, you know, these streaks, these horrible streaks, all right? Because it's crazy because after I looked that up, I said, you know what? I have to look up how bad of a streak, you know, is out there. Like, so there's records out there, you know?
Yeah.
So the longest streak, 26 games, bro, by the Louisville Colonels. All right, they've been keeping tabs since like I think like 1960 on these things, you know. So like, but whatever. 26 games in a row. Imagine losing 26 games in a row. Do you want to come to work?
No,
you don't.
But yeah, that's crazy. Well, Chicago's streak ended yesterday. They beat Oakland, so
that
streak is snapped.
Yeah,
but it's reminding me of Baltimore. You know, even just in the last, you know, in the early 2000s, they've been awful. They had a lot of long losing streaks like that, so I'm kind of getting re-traumatized because I'm used to it and I know what it feels like. And as a fan, you just stop watching the game, stop listening, and you don't even care anymore.
Exactly. Imagine if you're a fan.
It sucks.
Why tune in? Why? Why are you tuning in? You already know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You know? It's crazy.
But 26 games. Now, that Orioles team that lost in 21... I believe they were able to come back and make the playoffs. I could be wrong. I got to look that up. But
yeah, so check this out. So 23 games, the Philadelphia Phillies in 1961, right? 21 games in 2024, the Chicago White Sox. We just talked about that. 1988, the Baltimore Orioles lost 21 games in a row. All right, then we have the 69 Montreal Expos. They lost 20 games in a row. In 1943, the Philadelphia Athletics lost 20 games in a row. They did it in 1916 as well. The Boston Americans, I wonder what that hat looks like. 1906 lost 20 games in a row. Then the Baltimore Orioles in 2021 lost 19 games in a row. 3 years later, look at them now. That's crazy, right? You lost, in 2021, the Baltimore Orioles lost 19 games in a row. And look at them now. It's pretty crazy. But, you know, the Chicago White Sox, they're in pace, on pace to lose 123 games. That's crazy. All right, that's crazy. They're 41 games behind Cleveland right now. There's no way. There's no way this is happening to them. All right, they're professionals, right? But let's be serious. This is happening out there? I can't even understand that.
Yeah, it's not good for baseball. This is why baseball is losing fans. You can't have teams just constantly just mailing it in and just not performing. The Angels and the Orioles in the past, you know, even the Pirates in the past, they just, you know, the Kansas City Royals, they're just those teams that are just perpetually bad every year, and you knew which teams they were, and everyone laugh at you and everyone make fun of you. My dad always joke around, "Hey, Losh, looks like we're going to beat you up tonight." And say, "Yeah, you're probably right, Pops," or whatever. You know, but, you know, we did it in a loving way. But now he can't say that no more. And he's like, "Wow, man." So the joke's on me. But it's not good for baseball, man. It's like I said, I always believe once you're 10 games under 500, it's very hard for you to come back.
It's over.
Yeah, a month into the season, forget it.
It's over.
I don't know how an organization could put out a product like that and say, "This is the best you have." It's like, really? Is this what you guys have?
You didn't want to spend any money. And you know what? The general manager's trash. Yeah. The general manager's trash. He's trash.
And you also got to say your analytic, because everything is on analytics now. Your analytic department is trash. And your owner is cheap, like you said, and doesn't want to spend money. I'm starting to think that Chicago Cubs might be one of those teams that if they put a new team, expansion team, either Oakland or Chicago are going to be a new team that's going to be moved to another city. And I would not be surprised. Why not? You know what I mean? That stadium that they've been at has been there for a long time. I think it was a guarantee rate. I forgot the name of the stadium. Anyway, it's been there for a while.
It was Comiskey for a while. Is it still Comiskey?
No, that's the Detroit Lions.
No. Comiskey? Oh, that was the White Sox park for a long time back in the day. I'm not sure what it's called.
It was called U.S. Cellular. That's right. U.S. Cellular.
That's what it's
called? They're the ones that have jails in their stadium. That's what I remember. But anyway, the point is if they're that bad, and they're worse than the Oakland Athletics. You know, at least the Oakland Athletics, they have some decent players
that
actually show up and they're actually doing okay. They, you know what I mean? They managed to beat the crap out of the White Sox the other day. So,
but listen, team that'll sweep the Mets right now. You understand what I'm saying?
Or take two out of three from Baltimore.
Exactly. This is the same team that will sweep the Mets right now because they're so bottom of the barrel that they'll sweep the Mets because the Mets have a hard time beating teams like this. This is the same conversation we were having 2 minutes ago. It's crazy. But you know what? We're gonna move on. Let's go into a different avenue, and let's talk about Blake Snell. Interesting guy. So this guy gets signed late because he's a Scott Boras client, and then he ends up with the Giants and he pitches a couple of games, gets hurt, comes back, and decides that, you know, he needs to show people who he really is. And he throws a no-hitter against the Reds. You know, that's pretty crazy to me. You know, and you know what? At the perfect time, too, you know, because it's the perfect time for me because I say damn, you know, the Giants should have got rid of him. You know, the Giants were really good in the beginning of the season, but are the Giants going anywhere now? Definitely not.
No.
Exactly. So, you know, a couple of weeks too late, right? Because if we would have did that prior to the trade deadline,
you'd have been a trade bait.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yankees, maybe? You never
they
know.
They were in talks with him. The Dodgers wanted him.
But if you would have pulled this off, if you would have pulled this off prior to that line, maybe he would have been wearing a different uniform, you know?
But that's got a better package.
Exactly. It's funny how that works, right? That's funny how that works. And the crazy thing about the Giants is, right, that they have pulled off 18 solo no-hitters in their franchise history.
Wow.
That's crazy, right? 18. All right? So we're going to break that down, too. So singular, right? Solo adventures where nobody else came in, no combined no-hitters. We're talking about one man going up there saying, throwing, you know, like, what, 80 practice pitches prior to the game start, you know, and warming up. And then going in there and shutting the opposing team down. It's an impressive feat, you know. And we're going to break down who has the most no-hitters by a singular pitcher in the league. So the Dodgers, you know, of course the Dodgers. The Dodgers have 22 of those.
Wow.
And we just finished talking trash about this team. The White Sox have 19 in second place. How so? Crazy. Wow. Yeah, crazy. And then we have San Francisco, you know, with Blake Snell pulling that off the other day. Now they have 18. Cincinnati, another team that is tied with the Bo Sox for 17. The Cubs have 16. The Guardians, well, you know, they weren't the Guardians when a lot of those happened. The Indians, 14. And then we have a nice little spread here, right? And I like this collection of teams here. With 13 no-hitters, there's four teams, the Astros, the Phillies, the Braves, and the Yankees. They have 13. Mm. And then the Oakland Athletics have 12. How crazy is that, right?
These teams this year that are tanking are in the top for most perfect no-hitters.
How crazy is that? That's insane to me, right? It's kind of weird. Yeah. Right? It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, bro. It's kind of weird how that works. You know, I don't know. But, you know, we always, you know, salute, you know, the gunslinger of the week. And obviously, it's going to be Blake Snell. You know, he goes 9 innings, no hits, obviously. 11 strikeouts, you know. Listen, you can go through a no-hitter and, you know, have a great game and, you know, the defense helps out a lot, but this guy was doing it pretty much on his own. 27 outs in the game and he took care of 11 of them on his own. So what the hell was happening there, right? Pretty crazy.
That must have been.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And he actually pitched all 9 innings. You know, it's not like a combined hitter. Like,
no, it's not. Yeah, it's a solo. All those are solo. Everything we spoke about just now were all solos. Not a combined no-hitter, all solos. It's pretty crazy. And then the hit of the week, I want you to, you know,
Your hitter was Rob Refschneider. He's with the Boston Red Sox on Saturday, August 3rd, in a loss, unfortunately, to the Texas Rangers. He went 4-for-4, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, a walk, 3 RBIs, 2 runs, and a stolen base. I don't like to choose hitters in a losing game, but he basically carried that whole team and they still managed to lose.
That's crazy. So he got on base 5 times.
4 times.
Walk, no, and don't forget about the walk.
Yeah,
don't forget
that's
about
true.
The walk. He got on
yes,
base
that's
5.
Okay,
times.
Yeah.
All right? So, that's a lot. That's serious action right there. All right? And he gets 2 home runs in that game on top of that? Nah, come on, man. He deserves to be up there. He deserves it. Salute. But
Refschneider.
Oh, man, that's crazy. You know, all that work he put in, and they still lost. you know, yeah. whatever. But they're still relevant, though. These guys are still, you know, fighting for a position in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I'll guarantee you they'll be there, unlike the Mets. But whatever, we're not going to talk about that. Hopefully the Mets surprise me. But we're coming to the end of the show, and I always have a, you know, little trivia for my man Lasha. He never asked me questions, because you know what? He's the mind. So
I do have a question him. Afterwards. So.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yep, it's a surprise question.
Wow. The Mets are not going to make the playoffs. That's my answer. But anyway. No,
not the question.
Oh, okay. But, you know, so what is the most runs scored in an MLB season? All right, so you don't have to tell me the number if you can't. I'm pretty sure you can't because that's like hitting the lotto. But I want you to tell me the team. All right, and then if you can tell me, so it's a three-way question. So, you know,
three-part question.
Three-part question, right? So you can either tell me the team, you can tell me what year, or you can tell me the number of runs. And if you can do any combination of that, I'm going to be happy, you know? All right, so the most runs scored in an MLB season. And this number is insane. I just want to put that out there.
Well, I'm gonna talk through it, so you know, just you don't have to say yes or no. Just let me talk through it.
Yeah, of course.
So if you had the best, the most runs scored in a season, I'd have to think you're in the upper echelons of over 1,000 runs for the year. Okay. Well, No, that's a little too high. I take that back. You'd have to be scoring at like 20 runs a game, so I take that back. So let's just say, I say plus 500 run differential. Is that what the question was?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So yeah. Basically, it's the most runs scored in the MLB season. So yeah, so right
most,
now
the most amount of runs. Okay, so I'll go back.
So
the
so
most
right now,
runs scored. Okay, so it could be 1,000. I'm just thinking of run differential, so I got too confused.
1,000 is a serious team now. So you have to understand that we're coming to the end of the season, and right now, like, teams are up in the 500s, all right? Not 600, but, like, some of them are midway to 600. You know, they have 560, you know, like, we can look that up right now, to be
I'm
honest.
Looking at it right now, so.
Okay, so tell me what the numbers are right now. The highest one, who is number one right now?
So, number one is the Yankees at 590.
We see? That's
and
crazy.
Baltimore has the second highest at 585. Followed by, I guess, Philadelphia, 549.
See, that's crazy. All right, so you see those numbers, right? So imagine with whatever's left of the season, which is like probably high
30 plus games, high 40 games.
High 40, right? Imagine, you said 1,000. You said 1,000, right?
So that makes, so,
so that's a lot. That's, you know, imagine what kind of, you know, we're scoring.
All right. So I'm going to come down.
You're going to come down.
I'm going to say 850.
Wow, 850.
Team-wise, I'm going to say it's a team that was in the early 2000s, mid-2000s.
Okay.
The team I could think of would be, even though they cheated, in my opinion, either the Astros or the Nationals the year that they won the World Series in 2019. Those would be my two choices. I was gonna go with the Astros because they cheated and they were able to score runs because they knew what was coming. And they scored a lot of runs that year. So I'm gonna go with the 2019. I think that was the year they cheated. Or 18. 2018, whatever year was they caught cheating, Astros with 850.
Wow. So no.
All that work for
no, but that was good. The brainstorming was amazing. I love it. But it was the Cleveland Indians, right? And the number insane. The number was 1,009 runs.
Oh, I was right. I said 1,000.
Yeah, you did. You started off right.
Oh man, I should have stayed on.
I know, but can you imagine what kind
of? Do they have like Jim Tomey and who they have?
Yeah, I can't remember that team really well. But you know what? I think 1999.
Oh yeah, they definitely had Tomey.
They had Tomey, right? But how crazy is that, right? For a team to be able.
Then they
to
have a Roberto Alomar Jr.
I think so. We can look that up. Let's look that up right now. I think you're faster at that than I am. So let's look that up right now. Let's look up that 1999 Cleveland Indians. They scored 1,009 runs that year. All right, that's crazy, right? And, oh my God, that's crazy. And I believe the second team behind that was like 943 runs scored, if I remember correctly. Because I remember kind of like looking that up, but those numbers are crazy. For a team to be able to produce that many runs, you know, it's pretty crazy.
The crazy part about that is their record, according to Baseball Reference, they were 77-85. They scored that many runs, but they finished under 500. That's interesting.
Oh, wow. Did they really? That's crazy.
Yeah, then you said 1990, Cleveland Indians?
No, 1999.
Oh, hold up. Let me look. 1999. Okay. This is why we got to work through it. Yeah, they had Bartolo Colon on the team.
Oh, man.
Alex Ramirez, David Berber, Jim Thome, Russell Branyan, Carlos Baraga. I remember Russell Branyan. That sounds familiar. David, you remember David Justice? I love
course,
David Justice.
Of course. Classy.
They had David Roberts. You remember him, the manager of the Dodgers? They had Omar Vizquel, Richie Sexton. Man, this was a good team.
Yeah.
Jacob Cruz, Richie Sexton, Tyler Hutz, Houston, Roberto Alomar.
Yeah.
Big Sexy, Bartolo Colon. Let me look at their record before we hang up. So their record at that year was... what was their record? No, that can't... No, that's not right. No, hold up. 1999. I'm looking up their record, see what... The record was 97-65. That makes sense. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
That is crazy. That was a powerhouse right there.
Yeah. That movie, the...
Major League, right?
Major League 1 and 2. That's a great... But that was before the 90s. That was like in the 70s, I think.
No, it wasn't that... No, it's not that old. It's not that old because I remember...
No, but it was about the...
Oh, that team in the okay, I got no.
Yeah, it wasn't about the '90s teams. Yeah, I don't think so. Now I'm gonna want to go watch that movie when I'm done with this.
It's pretty crazy. That movie was great. I love that movie.
I gotta watch it.
I love the characters in that movie were great.
Charlie
Sheen?
Charlie Sheen. Thank you. I was just about to. Yes.
Charlie
he
Sheen.
He was good. Wow.
That movie was 1989. That's when that movie dropped.
It came out in 89, but it was about like the 70s or 80s Indians probably. But anyway, that's a good movie, man. That's a lot of... One of these days, we should just do a top five baseball movies. You have your list and I do my list.
Oh, that would be
and
great.
Rattle them off.
We can do that in the next episode.
In the next episode.
I won't even tell you right now what I think.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to come up with my own.
Yeah, definitely. I only have a few. I don't have a lot of them, but movies that I watched.
I have two good ones right off the top of my head.
Me too. Right off the top of my head.
Three, actually.
Three? Nah, I have two for sure.
I got three.
Two that I watched over and over and over again. I mean, there's three, actually. You're right. There are three, but two that I watched so many times.
I could probably name off four. How about you name your two right now, and I'll name... Let's go.
No. We're going to save that for next week.
Why?
Tune in.
All right, sounds good.
You know, we're coming to the end of the show, and we want to say thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you, man.
All right.
See you next week.
Peace, brother.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.